the overall theme that we're looking at? God's blessing all the time. It's God's will to bless us. And we're looking right now at the blessings. That's what Beatitudes means. It means the blessings. And he gives this as the foundation of his teaching on spiritual reality, the spiritual kingdom. And this was revolutionary for these folks because they were looking for a political upheaval. They wanted to get rid of the pressure of the Roman Empire. They wanted their all the food that they could get and so forth. And that was not what he presented. Real blessing does not equal circumstances humanly being perfect. Real blessing is a spiritual reality. It's a relationship with God. It is being in unity with the purpose for which we are created. That's why we can say, folks, we can have blessing 24/7. You really can have the joy of the Lord. At this point, the rest of your life, you can choose to have it. We're going to talk about peace today. There's nothing greater than peace. And God just is ready to pour out his blessings. Life really can be very rich day by day and be such a blessing. So that's what we want to look at. Matthew chapter 5, we've looked at a number of the Beatitudes to this point. Let me just read them to bring us up to date. Starting in verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Let me stop right there. As you can see, these qualities which God works in our lives, basically up to this point, are dealing with whom? Ourselves. Poverty of spirit. In other words, understanding our desperate need and therefore truly mourning and knowing that God will meet our needs and being willing to be open and vulnerable before God, giving our rights to the Lord, meek, and then God gives us the earth. We have the inheritance of what God's purposes are. And hunger and thirsting after righteousness, we begin to realize what our lives are all about, and we begin to hunger for the things of God, and we're filled with that. And then merciful, there is the outward aspect coming, but it's the spirit, and blessed are the pure in heart. But now we get to beginning to show that blessed life to others. A truly blessed life will bless others. Okay? And when we're not blessing others, we're causing problems. Okay? So we're not very happy. It doesn't work out real well. In other words, you can't be real blessed and not be a blessing. Does that make sense? Because if you weren't a blessing to others around you this morning, you probably had some uncomfortable moments. So you're not sitting here real blessed today. Okay? You're sort of hurting from whatever. So the whole thing is a flow. God blesses us. We bless others. We have God's working in relationships. We're encouraged. We're an instrument of God's grace, of God's peace, and it's a continual cycle. So let's look at, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This is the blessed life in action, a peacemaker. A peacemaker. So let's just look at this. What does this mean? Well, a peacemaker cannot be a peacemaker if they're not at peace with God. It's a very obvious point from this progression. And so if we do not have a sense of full acceptance with the Lord, and we do not have the realization that we're at peace with God, there's no way we can give peace to other people and be a peacemaker and a relationship builder. So the number one relationship in the world is man's relationship with God. If you don't understand that, you can't help other people come to peace, because where is it always going to start? You're going to point them to Christ. So you obviously have to be yourselves. All things are of God, which hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:18. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How do you know if you have peace with God? Well, you know it because you trust in the Lord and you know that there's not one sin that you're going to have to stand in judgment for. That Jesus paid it all. You are resting on the finished work of Christ. And even though you know you're unworthy, and even though you know you have sin still, you know that you have accepted the complete work of Christ, and when you go to bed at night, there's no fear. If you didn't wake up, where you would be. You know you will be in heaven. Folks, you know, if we've been saved for a while, we forget what the lost world goes through. The uncertainty about eternity, it's a terrible thing. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to know I've got peace with God. Oh, I want to serve him more. I want to be more what God wants me to be. But I can tell you right now, when God the Father looks at me judicially, he sees no sin. I have the righteousness of Christ imputed to my account, and I stand before God judicially with full peace. And if right now, this were my last moment, I would stand before him and be in heaven forever. Well, that's a great thing. See, that's an exciting, exciting truth that ought to just continually thrill us. There may be someone here this morning. This whole matter of being a peacemaker has to start with you first being reconciled to God. Have you ever trusted him? You see, all of us are at enmity with God. We all deserve the judgment of God. Right now, if you go into eternity and your sins have not been covered by the blood of Christ, God will, by his very justice and holiness, have to send you to an eternal place of punishment called hell. And if that strikes fear in your heart, I don't know all of you here this morning, and I do want to encourage you, don't leave here that way. You want to give me a birthday present? Leave here at peace with God. Man, I tell you, make the whole day worth it and more, okay? Trust the Lord as your Savior. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again. He's right now seated at the right hand of the Father. He wants to give you the greatest gift he can ever give you, and that's peace with himself for eternity. Isn't that a glorious thing? And I tell you what, when we think about that and rest in that and revel in that, that just changes us in our relationships with other people. So we understand if we're truly saved and we are remembering our salvation, then we have more of a motivation to be a peacemaker. All right, so first of all, we need to be partakers of Christ's peace. Then we need to be followers of the Prince of Peace. Messiah will be sung coming up here at Christmas time, and the great, from Isaiah chapter 9, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so, we're not talking about being a peacemaker by being a negotiator, okay? Negotiators compromise. What I mean by that is to try to bring peace to people in the world setting, all they can do is try to get people to back up a little bit on their problems and try to find common ground, and that's a very, well, how many of these quote-unquote peace treaties of the last 20 years have done us much good around the world? And, you know, I mean, the fact is, the human nature, you've got to have something far more than human reconciliation. Almighty God has to come in and change us if we're going to be having peace with one another. So it starts with us understanding peace. So, if number one, if you're saved, the second question is, are you following the Prince of Peace? Are you surrendered this morning? You see, he is the Lord. He deserves us completely. We should be absolutely surrendered to him. And he is the Prince of Peace. So, if you want to bring peace to your marriage, you want to bring peace to your family, you want to bring peace to people around you, you've got to be in the follower of the Prince of Peace. not just saved by the Prince of Peace, reconciled to him, but you've got to be living in a reality of that relationship. And who has he sent into your heart to give you that oneness of relationship? The Holy Spirit. And what's the third virtue of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, say it with me, peace. All right. So if you're following the Prince of Peace, if he is in charge of your life, the fruit of that's going to be peace in you and peace overflowing. Overflowing peace, abundant peace. Can Christians not follow the Prince of Peace? They do it all the time. Now let me ask those who've been saved for a little while, not following the Prince of Peace for a while, does that bring peace to your life? What begins to creep up? It starts with an A and ends with a Y. Anxiety, which leads to fears and depressions. We've been over this ground before, okay? Now, you know, you don't do much good if you're filled with anxiety. Because who are you thinking about? Yourself. Really? And then you're going to react because you're just uptight, you're stressed, you don't have answers. You feel lost, and though you know the truth, and you're saved, and you're thankful for that, at the moment, you're not living in your salvation. No, you have eternal life, but you're not living with the Prince of Peace in charge. The Holy Spirit is not permeating your life and controlling your thinking, giving you wisdom to solve that anxiety, to give you that rest in your soul that you can take priority steps, and God will enable you. It's a wonderful thing, as we often quote from Philippians chapter 4, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, right attitude, let your requests be made known unto God, and what will happen? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, you can't understand it until you experience, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, one of the great tests of whether or not we're really right with the Prince of Peace today means that we should be living with peace, right? How are we doing? Very peaceful, restful, strong morning. Pastor, that's not fair on a Tuesday morning. I got here. I mean, my kids, they were crying, but I got them stuffed in the nursery there, and, you know, I'm half alive, and I think they got fed, and I got the lunches made. I think I'm okay, or what people, I understand. But down deep, what should be the sign that you're walking with God? You're trusting Him. You know He's working. You have a sense of purpose and peace that comes because you are with Him, and you're humbly looking to Him for. Well, it really is true. No peace, no control by the Prince of Peace. Anxiety is carnality. Stress is unbelief. Folks, it is great to be a Christian. Now, you may be a high-wired person, but even you can have peace. Okay? You say, but I'm a perfectionist. I am such a perfectionist that I'm even thinking this through from a perfectionist standpoint. I am hopeless. No, you're not. Okay. God knows all about you. He created you. And He knows all about perfectionists. And by the way, laid-back non-perfectionists oftentimes have far more anxiety because they really feel bad about themselves. Okay, so it is what it is. It's a miracle when God gives peace. Well, I'm telling you what, you have a crisis and you cry out to God, you're in an emergency, haven't you experienced the peace of God, the passeth of all understanding? Well, cry it all the time. Because listen, ladies, most of you live in an emergency all the time. You're just dealing with all kinds of stuff. Well, just live in peace. Realize that life is that way. What a great privilege to have people we have to work with and that look to us and maybe little ones that we have to take care of or heavy responsibilities. But we can have peace. What a wonderful thing. Now, to really enjoy the peace of God, you've got to have what the Prince of Peace has told us. Okay. You've got all the wisdom you need to handle any circumstance. You can't run out every morning and not be in the Word. You can't be missing the preaching and teaching of God. for it and expect, well, you know, you said that the Holy Spirit indwells me and he's, you know, peace is the fruit of the Spirit. Absolutely, but you've got to be walking by faith with the Prince of Peace, and the only way you can do that is faith is based on the Word of God, and you've got to have that wisdom from above, which is peaceable. So peace will come the more you know truth, and the Word of God will come right when you need it. In fact, this little message this morning, I promise you, as you face the next little crisis, God will bring that truth back to you. If you're open-hearted, looking for answers. Now, one of the traps we fall into that gets us away from peace and anxiety is that Satan's a master at getting our priorities out of whack. And we looked at some of the normal things, not the bad, wicked, awful things of the world, but just the life of modern world as the way to sort of cope. You know, we escape pressure rather than deal with pressure. And so we can just, you know, shop, entertainment, whatever, all kinds of amusements. Things that do not really bring peace. Not that those things are wrong. You have a shop. I'm not sure about most entertainment, but we're there today. But those kind of things you got to put in perspective. But Satan is the one who is a liar that says these things will bring you peace. That's why you got to be in the Word. If the Prince of Peace is going to be in control of your life, you've got to know this book and believe it's right. Which means you're going to come into conflict with Satan and the culture in which he's designed. So you got to say no to that priority. No to that escape. Yes to things that are more important. And it will bring peace. But you will have to make faith decisions based upon what the Word says. You know, our society is just constantly on the move. And the way we handle pressure is just stay on the move. You can get in the car and go. We go do this, we turn on this, we see this, we just are mindless. And what is the famous statement we always make? Well, I don't know where that month went. And sometimes that's a real problem to say that. Now, that's the way it is. Where does the last year go? Where does the last month go? But you know, a Christian enjoys each day. He doesn't escape from the day. He faces it. Even the more difficult things can be a rich experience. You know, life actually does slow down when you start enjoying it by the grace of God. The world endures life. We live life. Because we serve the life. We're alive forever. You realize your eternal life started from the moment you got saved? You're already tasting of the heavenly. You already have what is going to make heaven so special. Enjoy it. You say, well, I've got a lot of issues. Yeah, but every one of those issues, God turns to blessing. You've got him. You've got his presence. Don't just survive life. That is Satan's trap. And I tell you, with modern world today, you think all the conveniences would help us. No, they actually hinder us. We're on the move. We don't even enjoy fellowship. We don't enjoy one another. We don't just sit down and meditate. We don't realize what a rich existence we have in Christ. You know, sometimes it's just good to stop and say, oh, wait a second. You know, slap yourself up by the side of the head. Not too hard. Don't do that. But just, wow. I'm a child of God. You know, I am alive. This is great. Day to serve the Lord. What am I doing just, you know, going through the day? Every day you ought to be able to finish and say, wow, this was a blessed day. It wasn't easy. But this was great. Lord, thank you. Thank you for life. I'll be in heaven soon, but, you know, right now, every day is a rich experience. Now, seriously, what I'm telling you is important advice. Because you're never going to bring peace to anybody else if you're not living with that peace. So, the Lord wants us to be the follower of the Prince of Peace so that we can be preachers of and lead peacemakers, as this Beatitude says. I'm going to read from, you'll need to turn there. But in Romans chapter 10, it says, how shall they that call on him, How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Peacemakers, first and foremost, are people that know the Lord, are following the Prince of Peace, living in peace, wanting others to live that way also. We're not talking here first and foremost about reconcilers. We're talking about bringing people to the same peace that you have. Did you know a person who's living in peace is probably not going to have a whole lot of problem with other people? Okay. So, a person that wants to bring peace and blessing to your family, to your area, first and foremost, you got to have the gospel of peace right there, because a person's got to be reconciled to the Lord. You can work to get blue in the face, and you should obviously try to solve issues. But first and foremost, people need the Lord. Just like it's changed you, it will change them. You know, I'll have a couple come in a few times, and they've heard about the church, and I always see somebody the first time at least, and they want to have marriage counseling. What do you think I talk to them about first of all? Permanence? Yeah, you're exactly right. And how's that going to be accomplished? Salvation. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's going to be a witnessing opportunity. I'm dead in the water until they know the Prince of Peace. I'm dead in the water until they're indwelt by the Spirit. And it's very interesting. I'll have folks come in and I'm thinking, this is bad. I mean, this one. I got to make sure I watch it for my own life here. I mean, it starts going back and forth. It's not good. God moves in. The Prince of Peace takes over. The gospel is given. They pray and accept Christ as their Savior. Even without even talking about one marriage principle, guess what happened? Peace moved in. I got a whole different situation. It's amazing. And I leave all excited because I know we have hope. Or I'll have Christians come in. You know, they can throw just some bad words. In fact, they're a little worse because they're going against conscience. They're just like, wow, you know. So, Prince of Peace gets back in charge of their lives and get right with the Lord. In fact, I've had a number of times, I've had people call up after one or two sessions, after they've really gotten right with the Lord. And they say, you know, we're so embarrassed. That was just pure self. Thank you for the guidance. I just want to tell you, it's just, we're doing fine. We weren't right with God. We know what to do. We just need to do it. I'm certainly glad to shepherd the guy, but I mean, the point is, it really gets down to that relationship with the Lord. So, a person who knows the Prince of Peace and has peace with God and is living right relationship with the Prince of Peace is going to talk about the Prince of Peace. If you care about somebody, you want them to know him. Isn't it wonderful not to be afraid of God, to know that you have peace with God? And then to know that you can meet every situation in life and he will give you the peace that passeth all understanding. That's the gospel of peace. It's a great message, folks. See, soul winning is not a duty. It's a natural outspringing of who we are. You can't help it. Help somebody. If you saw somebody bleeding, what would you do? You'd help them immediately. Do whatever you could, whatever you're trained to do, or get somebody to help them. Wouldn't even be a second thought. When you see somebody hurt, and you're walking with the Prince of Peace, what's the immediate thing you want to do? Help them. Absolutely. It's not even not a matter of duty. It's a matter of just immediately, I want you to know Christ. Here's the solution. And by the way, when you present him that way, more people than not will accept him. When you come because you care, people will at least be heavily affected by the power of the gospel. Now, you have somebody that you know, and they need the gospel, or they're a Christian that needs to get right with God, and you are constantly stressed and filled with anxiety and unhappy, are you going to be able to do much for them? Are they going to listen to you?
No.
No, they're not going to listen to you. Now, they will listen to you if you admit your problem. Say, you know, God's working in my heart. We need to get this thing But, you know, so it's got to be the message of peace, and it's got to be the life of peace. You know, a life of peace is attractive, isn't it? To love being around Christians, and you know they're going through tough things, but there's just a calmness there. There really is a joy. And they're willing to take time with you, and they'll sit down and pray with you. And I tell you, a person like that, that's powerful. You know, 5 minutes with a godly Christian can change your life. Because it's not them, it's Christ. Christ is wonderful. And, you know, and just to sense his love. And we are a vessel of him. His glory, as 2 Corinthians 4, shines through us. Even through our very eyes. Our eyes are the window to the soul. And when we're right with God, and the peace of God is there, and we're enjoying the Lord, just a look from a godly Christian can change a person's life. It really can. Or it can bring them under real conviction. Have you ever been brought into conviction being around a godly Christian? Oh, I have over and over. You know, and all, those eyes are penetrating. I'm trying to be penetrating, but, you know, it reveals the heart and soul. So you've got to be an example yourself of not living in strife and anxiety. Okay, it's very important to have that kind of life. Now, what you probably first thought of, blessed are the peacemakers. You think of helping people reconcile with one another. That becomes automatic. You see, it takes how many to tangle? Two. When you care about people, what do? You give the message. You give the message of the gospel. You give the message of walking with the Lord. If you can get one out of two to be right with God, you're on the way to reconciliation. Reconciliation is not getting two people together to find common ground. Because oftentimes, that's ignoring your problems. It's getting two people together to go this way. The closer they are to God, the closer they will be to one another. Where should the common ground be? Right now. No marriage is ever healthy until it's biblical and empowered by God. Yeah, we can deal with things you can even do, but I can tell a man until he's blue in the face yet what he ought to do to meet the needs of his wife, and if he's not empowered by God and humble, it is going to work. And vice versa. So, to be peacemakers, we've got to be peacemakers first to the Lord, and then working on helping people really have victory in their hearts so that they are just at peace with one another. I can tell you right now, whatever struggle you may have with the person close to you, you get the peace of God back today, you're already miles down the road solving a problem, even for yourself with that person. You've got peace, you can't get ruffled. You're caring about them, it's no longer about you. You die to self, you don't have a problem anymore. They may, but you don't. And you just simply want to help them. So it's all about what we have in Christ. So, all right. And by the way, I failed to have to finish here, but shall be called the children of God. Think about that. You know, we hear that all the time. When we're saved, we become a child of God. This is talking about the fact that everybody knows you are a child of the Creator. That person is not like the normal person. They're born from above. They're part of the family of God. They are God's children. That's a big deal. The way to be known as God's child is to have peace. Peace with God and peace on God. Now we spent a lot of time talking about emotion issues. It's a lot more could be said with that.